Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
This message this morning is titled, A Healing Touch. The Bible talks a lot about healing. In fact, we really wouldn't have time if we devoted two or three services, maybe even more, to just healings that are mentioned in the Bible. The great things that God has done. I'm glad that He is a physical healer. He heals our physical needs. He's a spiritual healer. He heals our spiritual needs. He's an emotional healer. He heals our emotional needs. He's a financial healer. He heals our financial needs. And it's sad to say that there are some people today only come to God when they need one of these healings. They're sick and think they're on their deathbed, or maybe they even are, and they will cry out to God. Otherwise, they don't have time. Their wallet's empty. The bank account's dry. Oh, God, help me. But when there's money in the account, things are going well, I'll get back to you when I need you, God. Emotional. And I know with emotions can be up and down. But I'm glad God can heal us no matter what our emotions are. And our spiritual needs. He brought healing to our spiritual need on the cross of Calvary when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, that we could have forgiveness from our sin and that our spiritual condition would be healed at that point. It would be taken care of and we could have that healing touch. But I want to talk about some of the healing ministry that Jesus did. And some of these, because most of the stuff we're talking today comes from the four Gospels. Many of them are repeated in the various other Gospels. But I'm going to deal mainly with those that are listed in the Gospel of Matthew today. And the first one's in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 and 3, which says, "When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." I want you to think about this for a moment, because leprosy, other than cancer, is probably one of the most dread diseases on the face of the planet. We don't see a lot of it here in the U.S. Most of us have never met somebody that has leprosy. But it's a terrible disease that eats away at the body. And I'm told that people who have leprosy can actually be sitting there and just have pieces of their body, pieces of their flesh, just fall off because of the leprosy that eats away at them. And now there's some treatments, but really there's no known cure for leprosy. It's a horrible disease. And you can actually, if I understand it correctly, can catch leprosy or get leprosy from just coming in contact with someone who has that disease. And in the Bible, it talks about these people who were lepers, that they were kept outside the city. They were quarantined more or less unto themselves. They had to stay so far away from people, other people. As they walked down the road and they saw somebody coming, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. It doesn't mean that their body was physically dirty. It meant that they had that disease of leprosy, which was eating away at them and was a danger to other folks as well. So here's a man that's in dire straits. He knows his life is going to be shortened here on planet Earth because of this disease in his body. And he comes to Jesus and says, Master, if you will, you can heal me of this. He had faith that this disease that there was no known cure for could be healed if Jesus just spoke the word. You remember back in the Old Testament even, there's the story where the man came, Naaman, I believe it was, came to the prophet and asked him, you know, to be healed. And he told him, he offered to pay money for the healing. And he said, no, just go dip yourselves in that river Jordan 7 times. Nobody wanted to dip in that muddy river, especially if you had open sores. Can you imagine? Just think, you get an open sore on your body and how water, getting water in it can make it hurt. And getting dirty water in it, make it infected, even worse than what it is. And nobody really would want to do that, but that was what he had to do. But you know what? When he came up out of that water, the Bible tells us his skin was like that of a baby. He had never had a disease in his life before because Jesus worked the healing touch in his body. The Bible goes on to tell us of another example here. There was a centurion, and of course you know the centurions were members of the Roman army. Sometimes hesitate to say Roman soldiers, they served in the Roman army. Probably being a centurion, he might have been a Roman citizen. Vast majority of the Roman soldiers who were in Jerusalem and in Israel and Judea at the time of Jesus were not actually Roman citizens. They were conscripts or people who had joined the army to have maybe a little bit better life in some ways than what they had as being a servant to the Romans. And here's a centurion, a man of authority, and he comes to Jesus and he says, you know what? Well, let's just read the story here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And the centurion, well, he'd come to Jesus and he said, verse 8 here, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should comest under my roof. He said, Jesus, you don't even need to go to my house. I'm not worthy that you step into my house. And I'm guessing here that his house was probably pretty nice, better than the average person living in the area's home. And he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus, all you have to do is just say, he's healed. And he'll be healed, I believe that. If you go on and read, Jesus says, greater faith has this man. Great faith has this man, because he believed that all Jesus had to do was speak the word. And yes, that's all it took. Jesus spoke the word, and his servant was healed. In fact, in verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that self same hour. Your servant's healed. And he was healed. Doesn't say what the problem was, but you know what? There's none of these problems is too great for God. None of them are too great for God. He's the healer of all diseases. He's the healer of all afflictions. All he has to do is speak the word. Think about it. He spoke the world as we see it around us, the stars in the sky and all of these things. He spoke them into existence. He said, let there be. And it was. And all he has to do is say, be healed. And they are healed. It talks about Peter's mother-in-law here also in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. You know, that's something all of us get at times. Get sick, we have a fever. Fever can be bad. And the older you get, the worse a fever can be for you sometimes. You know, a child can have 102 fever and they don't really take as much concern as if an adult gets 102 fever. And so it can do some bad things to you. And his mother-in-law has got a fever, Peter's mother-in-law has got this fever. And Jesus walks in the door. They didn't have to call the doctor. I don't know, maybe there wasn't even a doctor available, but they didn't have to call one because the great physician was there. Jesus walked into the room, and when he walked into the room, things changed, because it says, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. No, that didn't mean that she got up and preached to them. She got up and started fixing them something to eat, something to drink, taking care of business here. You know, because the great physician had walked into the room, she was healed. The fever left her body immediately, and it was gone. Then there was a man with a palsy that it talks about in Matthew chapter 9. And it says, be that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He has the power to forgive sins. You know, there's some people on that I've heard that seem to think that they've got the power to forgive sins. I've even had a few preachers say, and I know some of them didn't think about it, as they said, I saved so-and-so. They didn't save anybody. We get saved because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And I think maybe they were meaning, well, you know, they got saved under my ministry or something. I'm hoping that's what they meant. You know, we can't save anybody, but Jesus saves, and he has the power to forgive sins. And then it says, goes on to say, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Get up, take your bed, and go home. You're healed. I don't know a lot about palsy, but I understand it's a pretty terrible disease to have. And if I recall correctly, I think you shake some from it and some things like that. And the worse it becomes, the more this happens to you. This man was apparently confined to a bed. Most of us know if you're in bed for a while, you get weak. The longer you're in bed, the weaker you get. And if you've been in bed for a couple of weeks, haven't been out of bed, you get out of that bed, and it's probably all you can do to stand alone. And it says here, this man got up, packed up his bed, whatever it was, took it, and went home. Didn't have to call a U-Haul. Took it himself. And he says, go home, because Jesus healed me now. Because Jesus is the healing touch that we need in our lives. Then, of the course, the scripture tells us about the one that we're all familiar with in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, about the woman with the issue of blood. And it says, and when Jesus turned about and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, let's back up a little bit. Here's the lady. She sees Jesus ministering. There's a crowd. She says, man, if I could just get through, if I can worm my way through that crowd, if I can push, shove, whatever, if I can get through, and I can just reach out and just touch, says in the King James, the hem of his garment. It meant the fringe on his garment. The fringe of his garment. If I can just touch that, I'll be made whole. I'll be healed. In fact, Jesus said, when it happened, who touched me? Even though all she touched was the fringe of his robe, of his tallit, then he felt the healing virtue go from his body. He said, somebody touched me, because he felt that healing touch go out. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot of stories that we're familiar with of things that happen. And it's interesting to find that sometimes we find they're in there more than once, because it happened on two different occasions. You know, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, and then you talk about the feeding of the 4,000. Some people say, well, what, did they miscount in one place? And not because it happened twice. One time it was 5,000, one time it was 4,000. Some events occurred more than once. One that we don't hear talked about very often, it's similar to this, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 and 36, it says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of them, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might touch the hem of his garment. Jesus, all we've got to do is just touch the hem of your garment. Don't take anything else. We know that we will be healed. Was there power in that cloth? Was there power in those fringes? No. I have a prayer shawl back in my office. It has the fringes on it. And we can go back there and we can touch those all day long and we'll walk away the same way we were. It was not because of that, but that was their point of contact at that time with Jesus Christ. That's how they were able to reach out and touch him, and his healing power went out unto them. It brought the healing touch. And it says, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole because the healing touch. Then of this, the story of the blind men, and there's more than one occasion where blind people are healed. You know, I can just sometimes wonder how amazing and fantastic it must be to a person who's blind, whose sight is restored. They live in a world that they don't see. They only have touch and hearing, primarily. Some of them don't even have hearing. But they're living mostly by touch. And what hearing they have. Many that are blind have excellent hearing, but some don't. But to imagine to them, their eyes be opened and see all the creation that God has made. All the things that God has given to us. All the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. If you went around, now you as an individual here, you have sight. If you were to become blind, you would still have memories of what things look like. But they don't have that to go by. They have no knowledge. And I'm amazed sometimes by people that are blind as to what they can do. I had a lady that was a friend of mine and a friend of Mary's as well back many years ago. And in fact, she played the piano for my ministry for a period of time. Was blind. I mean, she could do some things that amazed people. She'd be in a church once or twice, and she could go from various parts of the auditorium right to the piano on her own. She could do other things. She used to really amaze my mother by being able to tell my mom what the time was. My mom would say, well, how can you tell me when the time, when you can't see the clock? And she finally found out that she had a Braille watch, but... You know, but they can do amazing things. So imagine these guys that are blind. They're asking for a new chapter in their life, basically, here. And it says here in Matthew 9, 27 through 29, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus, I believe you can heal me. And they were healed. Deliverance. There were those who were delivered from demons and demonic oppression. There's a lot of people in the world today with demonic oppression. And there are a lot of people in the world that are possessed today. And there is a difference between the two. Possession is when a demon actually possesses you and lives in your body. Demonic oppression is when the enemy attacks you. It's just like a battle going on because these forces want to cause you to fall. They want to cause you to do things that are not right in the sight of God. And it says here, and they brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Cast that demon out of him. Matthew chapter 14 again talks about, and I think I probably put this one in here twice, chapter 14 talks about again the men who touch the hem of his garment. But there's Peter and the lame man at the temple. Remember, they just came down from the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They're all fired up. Did you ever get in a good old Holy Ghost revival type meeting like we sang about here earlier today? And the power of God be there, and you come out of there and you feel like you can take on the world. They just come down from one of those things, man, the day before. Man, we had 300 people saved yesterday. Or 3,000 rather. 3,000 people saved yesterday. Man, if we see 300 anymore, we think it's a miracle. They had 3,000 saved. They're feeling good. And it says the next day that Peter and John go to the temple as is their custom. Ah, man, I'm feeling good. I'm headed to the temple. I'm praising God. Jesus is on the throne. We got the Holy Ghost residing in us. Man, we've got it. And they come to this man. They probably passed by him dozens of times over the years. And he asks them for some alms. Can't you just spare a dime? Help a poor lame man. How about a quarter? Not a quarter, a dime. If not a dime, a nickel. Help me, please. The Bible tells us that Peter looked at him and said, look, I've talked about before Peter being a real Pentecostal preacher. His pockets were empty. I don't know. He can't say that anymore. Back when I was growing up, that's how most of them were. They didn't have those extra dimes. But what they did have, they shared, and that was the power of God. And Peter looked at him and said, man, I ain't got no money. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I do have, I am going to give unto thee today. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It says the man got up. And people talk today about doing their happy dance. I imagine that man did his happy dance all over the place because the power of God had came upon him. Again, he had not walked ever. Think about babies. They have to learn to walk. They start by crawling. Then they finally start by holding on to stuff and pulling themselves up. And sometimes we'll help and hold them by the hands and help them walk. Or we use aids like walkers or things like that to help strengthen their legs and teach them how to walk. Think about this. This man had never walked a day in his life. He's a full-grown adult. I don't know how old he was, but at least probably 20, 30 years old, maybe even older. And he jumps up. Starts doing his happy dance and he walks off carrying his bedroll or whatever he had with him because he had been healed by the healing touch of Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't the fact that Peter said it. It was because of what Jesus did. Peter was just acting as the agent there. It goes on to tell us about other people here. There was Peter and Ananias. That's a nice little name there. Can't hardly pronounce it. But it says here that it came to pass in Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 34, and Peter passed through all the quarters. He came down to the saints which dwell at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Ananias, which had kept in his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he rose up immediately. Again, been in bed for 8 years. They didn't have physical therapists coming in every day to massage his muscles and try to keep his muscles active or whatever. Imagine that they had withered away pretty good. But Jesus said, arise. Says he got up, made up his bed, and went on his way here. And of course, it talks in other places, Acts chapter 14, about the man who was impotent in his feet, who was a cripple. And Paul, seeing him, perceived that he had faith to be healed and said unto him with a loud voice, stand upright on their feet, and he leaped and walked because of the healing touch. In Acts chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, Paul, this is while he's shipwrecked. Remember, this is about the same time where Paul picked up the wood and got bit by the snake and shook it off into the fire and went on his way. Well, the others are looking at that man should be dead. He's got bitten by this poisonous snake here. But he's going on his way as if nothing happened. It says here, and it came to pass, it talks about the father of Publius, who lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. I'll tell you, when healing miracles start to take place, people begin to hear and they begin to come. They want to be healed. You know, we've gotten to a society here in America where, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, I'm not anti-going to the doctor. I think God put doctors here for us to use. And he gave them wisdom. And I'm especially thankful for doctors that are Christians who believe in God and pray to God each day to make them the best that they can be, because God uses them. But we have put so much confidence in doctors, or in take this pill and it will cure all your ills. Wouldn't it be fantastic if there was a pill that could cure all of our ills? Well, they might try to tell you there is, but you start to look at the side effects. And you start to learn that you might suffer from something far worse than what you have if you take this pill. But God is the great physician. He is the one that brings healing into our bodies. He is the one that touches us. And so many times we will only trust on God when we get in desperation. Jesus gave power to his disciples. In Matthew 10:1, it says, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them the power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. Then in what we refer to as the Great Commission that's recorded in Acts, or excuse me, in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. It doesn't mean take them up and play with them and tempt God, as some do. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I know some is saying here, well, this is what Jesus gave to the disciples. He goes on in Luke chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and says, and in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So heal the sick. Again, instructions to the disciples. Healing, the Bible tells us, is part of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and God appointed or hath ordained some in the church as first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and them that do miracles. After that, the gifts of healing, helpers, governors, diversity of tongues. And James goes on to write in James chapter 5, verse 14, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, my question then is, who are the disciples? Who are the disciples? Because so many times we tend to think about the 12 disciples, which are later referred to as the 12 apostles. So look up the definition of disciple and apostle here. And in the dictionary, it says the New Testament rendering of the Greek word used here, mathetes, is learner. learner. A disciple is a learner. The meaning applies to one who professes to have learned certain principles from another and maintains them on that other's authority. And it's applied principally to the followers of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, and you are studying, and you are learning the things of God, guess what? You're a disciple. You want to put a title in front of your name? You could say, I'm disciple so-and-so. And I know if you did that, you'd probably get laughed at or something, you know. But that's what you really are. If you are a child of God and you are following the teachings and learning of Jesus, you are a disciple of His. And this is what He spoke unto the disciples. Now to the ones that we refer to as the 12 apostles, it was because He sent them forth to do certain things. And there are those who are sent forth to do certain things, and it comes down to individuals there and the calling that God has on their life and what He wants to do in their life and what He sent them to. As, for example, the disciples or the apostles went out, and Paul wasn't part of the 12, but he's referred to as one of the apostles because he was sent forth. Other apostles went out to various parts of the known world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and had disciples that were coming into the church that were then following Jesus. Disciples. We're all disciples. When He spoke these things in the Word of God, He is referring not to those 12 men alone, but to all of us who are followers of His. He's called all of us into these things. If you go on and you read about the gifts, and it says some have certain gifts. Not all of us have all the gifts. Not all of us are participants of all things. But we are all still disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, the lowliest of the low may be the one that has that, maybe that disciple that has that gift that brings about the answer to the need in your life. I've told you here in the church before, and I say this again for those that are listening through the internet or other means, I've had two people I've ran into in my lifetime. The one person I don't actually remember because I was so young. I was about 6 years old. I only know what I've heard, but this lady, as I've said before, they thought she was a few cards short of a full deck. But she believed in Jesus Christ. And she believed in God's Word. And if God said it, that's the way it was. And when I had double pneumonia and whooping cough and Kleenex on my lungs and doctors basically expecting me to die, she came out and prayed for me. And I was healed. From that point forward, I began to get better. I was 100% better the next day and 200% better the day after that. And so on and so on as strength began to come back into my body. I had another friend when I was in my late teens, early 20s. He again was kind of like that lady. A lot of people thought he didn't have it all there. But he was a firm believer in Jesus Christ. He was a firm believer in what God could do. And I told people, I said, if I get sick, you bring Ed to pray for me, because I know when Ed prays, Ed touches God. I didn't want Oral Roberts to come pray for me. I wanted Ed to come pray for me, because I had faith that Ed knew how to touch God. And there are a lot of folks that are disciples that are sitting in church. And they're not some big name. They're not a household word. But God works that healing touch through them. Because He uses us. We're His vessels here on earth. The Bible goes on to tell us, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. And you anoint them with oil. And you lay hands on them and pray for them in Jesus' name, that they will be healed. the healing touch. That's an important thing in our life. And for those of you that are listening to me by internet or what other means, if you need a healing touch in your body or you need something in your life, I'm going to pray for you right now that God would work a healing touch in your life. And I pray, Father, right now for those that are listening by the internet or CD or what other means, I pray, Father, that if they need healing, Father, whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, whatever it may be, Father, that right now your healing power would reach down into their life, wherever they're at here on planet Earth. Reach down right now in the name of Jesus and bring healing into their life. I thank you for what you're going to do, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.